Blog Talk Radio.
Healthy, fresh, Art Smart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. This is a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I know it's not Saturday, it's Monday, but you know, hey, it's my show. I can do what I want to do, so to speak, but this artist, you need to check her out. She is all over the place, and right now she's at the MoMA. Her name is Micheline Thomas. She has a MFA from Yale. She has been awarded the Rima Hort Mann Grant in 2007. Joan Mitchell Grant and the Pratt Institute Alumni Achievement Award in 2009. She's represented by several galleries around the United States, and she is in the MoMA, as I mentioned, Whitney Museum of American Art. She's been in the Brooklyn Museum, the Studio Museum in Harlem, San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, and I could go on. Good morning, Micheline.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. I played that little public service announcement about arts in the schools. I grew up actually very fortunate. I went to a arts elementary school. We had music, we had dance, we had singing, art. I remember making Ukrainian eggs with wax. I don't know, do you ever do something like that?
Yeah, we played with a lot of different materials in the school, and you know, making art in schools was actually probably one of my favorite classes. And,
Yeah,
so I took a lot of art classes, and actually I did a lot of after-school programs, like at the Newark Museum after-school program, and then actually the Henry Settlement School in New York. My mother would drop me and my brother off there to, you know, just be active mm-hmm. and creative in some way.
So
staying
how do
off
you
the
think-
streets.
How do you think that helped you now? I mean, did you know very young? You just said it was like one of your favorite classes, so you knew very young that this is where I wanted to go?
No, actually, I always looked at it as a sort of hobby or thing that you did because, you know, it was an activity, but not necessarily, I never really knew that it was a sort of a career path for people. So I was actually thinking that I would go into law. And I was interested in, you know, a little politics. And so I thought, you know, that would be my trajectory, if, you know, from school was like, you know, really focus on law. But I always did, like I said, you know, my mother always, you know, put me and my brother in different programs, you know, just mm-hmm. so we could be active and, you know, expose us to different things. And it wasn't until later in life.
Go ahead. Later in life is when you made that the change to actually thinking about a career.
Yeah, exactly. And that just came about just, you know, living in Portland, Oregon, and just being around a lot of amazing creative people, and it was inevitable for me to just, you know, it just their energy rubbed off on me, and you know, I think when you're just in those sort of environments, you can't help but just kind of like join,
absorb
in that rhythm, you know. It's
definitely.
It just happens. It just becomes what it is.
I totally agree with you. My daughter's also artistic. I'm not a visual artist. I was in theater, but my daughter just was at an art camp this summer, and she just said she felt so much at home because of all the creative, I guess, juices. And I think artists look at the world differently and accepting of different things and always looking at things in a different way. So that's helpful to help you blossom, you know, as an artist.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you're using a lot of, you're using a lot of different things. I mean, you're so multi-talented. You're a photographer. You're using video. You're doing collage. What's your favorite thing to do?
I would say all of those things, because all of those mediums that I kind of, you know, oscillate between work with the other, and I need mm-hmm. to do all of those things to make the paintings. So actually, you know, the photography started around you know, graduate school when I would just photograph myself and my mother, just very simple snapshots, 35 millimeter, really didn't think about them as photo images, but more as photo resources for my paintings. And then that sort of just developed over time, where I just started, you know, really getting into the photographic process of my work. And so they started becoming their own individual kind of, you know, creative object or visual object.
Well, a lot of your pieces that I'm familiar with, they have these rhinestones that you're using. When did you branch out into that, using rhinestones on your pieces?
Well, I've always worked with sort of what you call untraditional materials, you know, which are, you know, when I say untraditional materials, it's like craft materials. You know, rhinestones, they're sort of a kind of crafty, you know, material, something you would find at a craft store or Michael's craft store. So it's not like traditional painting. But I was always interested in, you know, using different mediums other than paint. And I worked with glitter, you know, fabric, you know, just sort of found objects, anything I could kind of throw into the painting, sort of like a Rauschenberg or something like that. And so over time during graduate school, I just kind of really got into how I could work with the rhinestones and what they meant and, you know, the different colors and how they could be used and how we use them in the world and how they became these signifiers and symbols for my work, you know, because, you know, a lot of times they use them on clothes to, you know, embellish a certain outfit and make something, you know, look prettier.
Stand out.
You know, this sort of beautification of something.
Yeah.
So I was also
interested
in that sort of idea of the material, what it kind of means in a bigger picture.
Well, a lot of your pieces have women in them and women posing and this odalisk. I've seen in different interviews people mention, which is actually like a female slave, that reference. What do you think the women represent in your pictures? I mean, you have so many different ones, but in general,
well,
I mean.
Well, I use the
They're very
terms.
Sensual in nature, too. They're very sensual in nature.
Yeah,
I should mention that.
For me, to use those terms, you know, like the odalisk, you know, like you mentioned how, you know, the odalisk was a slave and all, you know, in that nature. But, you know, visually and creatively, I work through art history and, you know, the art historical canon. And in order to kind of break into that dialogue, you have to be a part of that conversation. And so for me to take these terms in which they were used, you know, in this kind of like historical way or manner by, you know, a lot of Western artists and European artists, is to reinsert within a new context. How can you take an image or a word and kind of recontextualize it and what it really, its meaning, so that people start looking at these images in a new way.
Well, let's talk about your MoMA piece. That's a good jumping off point for your MoMA piece that you did. Tell the listeners about the Le Trois Femmes Noires.
Well, because I was invited by, you know, one of the curators to do a piece there, and so they commissioned me to do this painting, and, you know, I work with photography and do collage, and so it was one of the first times where it was a more site-specific location, where I actually photographed the models at the MoMA in the sculpture garden. And so I wanted to kind of reinvent this kind of notion of, you know, this traditional image that was very controversial with this woman who was nude sitting next to these two men lunching in the grass. You know, so it's this very kind of historical image that was, at the time, very racy. And so when I was thinking about things that were political and racy, what was political and racy for me at this time is to have these three black women sitting at the sculpture garden at the MoMA. And so it just seemed very fitting to kind of reinvent that as this kind of power struggle and dynamic of what beauty is. You know, it's just like, you know, you're entering this area of, you know, these images. How can you kind of manipulate the image and kind of come up with something new that could be sort of positive?
Yeah, a lot of your pieces have different poses that were, like you said, you're taking the historical, but then the fabrics that you use, the rhinestones, the colors, your colors are so vibrant and just like boom, out at you.
Yeah, that was actually a really fun shoot. It was very, you know, chaotic, but it turned out to be fun. You know, we're walking through the restaurant and, you know, the women had their makeup on and, you know, it was at night, and it was like anything that could go wrong went wrong. And so I actually only got a couple of photos from that particular shoot. And, you know, wanted to make something. It was a chance to really make something very dynamic. And for me, I knew where this painting was going to be located. It was going to be located at the facade and the window. And what better placement to have a depiction or an image so visually powerful but displayed in a way where, you know, the viewer is kind of having to contend and see this image every day.
Right.
You know, so
right.
It's like this kind of reminder of, you know, you have these three beautiful, very different black women who were it kind of like defines the validation and existence of that they were there and that they are here, you know.
That they exist. I mean, I think a lot of times you don't see from a historical art black women in a positive and a very beautiful way. And so your pieces are showing African-American women, and each of them is unique. You know, they're similar, but they're unique, and their uniqueness and individualism shines through all of your pieces. But now something else I learned about you in reading different things is that you're maybe going into landscapes. So maybe you're getting away from females.
Yeah.
Are you interested in doing some landscapes?
Yeah, I started doing landscapes in 2008, and I was really thinking about, you know, just, you know, early painting, a lot of, you know, painting, you know, from, you know, 19th centuries and before that. It's just mainly about landscape. You know, people were really depicting, you know, what they saw in nature and also what they saw in one another, you know, with portraiture. And so for me, those are kind of like these kind of traditional notions of what painting was at that sort of time. And then as time has developed, we've kind of created new genres of painting through the idea of landscape and portraiture. And so I wanted to kind of go back there and see if I could, you know, what kind of landscape would I be interested in. And I was traveling a lot upstate New York, and so always going through Hudson with, you know, friends and my partner, and, you know, I was just very taken about that sort of landscape, and there was a history of landscape painting, and so it was kind of something new with my work, I was traveling a lot, so I think I was always thinking and seeing the landscape in a new way. My art has allowed me to travel in ways that I haven't before. So it was just kind of a natural next step for me to really kind of go look at the landscape. You're seeing the landscape very differently now because I'm no longer just in Brooklyn.
Right. You're no longer seeing city buildings and people.
Yeah.
Is there a certain way you go about working? I mean, do you start – because you use photographs, you're using fabric, you're using the rhinestones, you're using acrylic. What do you start with first? Is it the photograph that's the foundation, or is it something else that's the, like, how do you jump? What's the
Well, it's the idea
point?
That's the foundation, and then it's the photograph, you know.
Okay.
Like with the landscape, I was really interested in these different landscapes, so I would just photograph what I was interested in, saw, you know, and, you know, would juxtapose those into my collages, like create different compositions. And so it was kind of the same process as if working with the women. It wasn't it's not that different. And, you know, my work was getting larger, so I was already dealing with a sort of landscape, because once you shift a scale from a portraiture scale, you know, these kind of parameters and painting, that remain as
what's
kind
your,
of like
what's
the
your largest piece? What's your largest piece that you think you've done?
It's the piece at MoMA. That's like 24 by 12 or something.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's huge. Now, one thing you people may not know about you, and I've mentioned this before, is that you were DJing at the MoMA. Now, why were you DJing at the MoMA?
Well,
you party animal, you.
I know. Well, simultaneously with this project that I was commissioned to do at the MoMA, I was invited to DJ. They were going to start this series of what they call MoMA Mix, where they were going to invite, you know, artists who are kind of creative and they feel that are hip and cool because they were trying to bring a younger crowd to, you know, the MoMA and pair
okay.
them with, like, really, you know, very well-known DJs. And
okay.
so when they asked me, I did actually try to turn them down and said, well, I don't DJ. And they were like, well, can you try? Can you learn?
Can you just please do this for us?
Yeah, and it was, they made it so I couldn't say no, because every time I would try to, like, well, I don't DJ, but they're like, you don't? Really? You don't DJ? And I said, well, I do, and then I'm thinking, as they're kind of like saying this, they're kind of manipulating. I'm like, yeah, well, I do know a lot of DJs. And that's what I said, thinking out
right.
loud. Like, well,
right.
I do know a lot of DJs. And they're like, great, so you can DJ. And I'm like, no, I can't, but I know a lot
said.
Of DJs.
Yeah. Crazy.
So in a
crazy.
Roundabout
no.
way, we kind of worked it out. And I said, look, I'll do this, but I don't DJ. And so it worked out. I got my really good friend, Derek Adams, who's also an artist, and he actually shows at Colette Blanchard Gallery in the Lower East Side, and we actually went to school together at Pratt. And we've known each other for a really long time, and he's, you know, a visual kind of person and active in the art world, and he
mm-hmm.
DJs regularly. And so I knew I could depend on him to show me, you know,
what to
you know
do.
A little thing or two about, you know, DJing, and we had a lot of fun. So basically, we worked together for a few hours, and he showed me what to do, and I just came up with my own sort of music list, a lot of Michael Jackson, and a lot of house, and, you know, a
mm-hmm.
few, like, newer stuff as well. So it was
well,
fun.
And some
we got
of
to
your
dance
pieces.
For.
You guys, I saw them dancing in the video, so I think you did a good job.
Yeah.
Some of your own videos, you have some videos, and there's movement, and there's maybe a woman there. And how did you pick the models for your? How do you pick the models for your pieces? You have auditions, or people you know?
Yeah, I always most of the women that I use in my painting and photographs are usually I use the same models over and over again, and you know, some start with my mother. A lot of the images are my mother, you know. And so I actually, you know, they're friends through other friends, and then we become
right.
friends, and I become attached to photographing them, and they enjoy the process, and so I end up using them over again.
Okay.
And
yourself?
A lot of times
You use yourself
yes,
for one of your pieces, the Brawling Spitfire Wrestlers in 2007?
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about that. You're fighting yourself. What are you fighting about?
what am I? It's sort of that kind of like, you know, personal dilemma. You know, those paintings were very personal and, you know, like a little sort of autobiographical paintings,
okay.
I would say. It's just how I was feeling at the time and like, this kind of sort of struggle with the art world, the struggle with in my own kind of studio practice, the struggle with my inner self, and, you know, this kind of sort of having these, you know, inner outer body experiences, and, you know, and also a way of, like, loving yourself, you know, it's just kind
mm-hmm.
of like this mirroring of the other, the self and who you are. And so
right, all sides of yourself, not just the one side, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what that really was, is, you know, and I think actually that body of work, I didn't really think it would go as far as it did. It was really just a way to kind of, you know, deal with a lot of particular things at that time. And a curator at the Studio Museum, Christine Kemp, responded to them and put them in a show, and they became, like, sort of popular with a lot of collectors and museums. So I did a series of those for about 2 years. But
well, you
I think
sound
I'm,
so surprised at your success. I mean, your work is, I mean, I don't, are there people doing other things with rhinestones and such layering and unique, the female, the African-American female that you portray?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
there are a lot of great
artists. You're doing some great stuff.
Yeah, there are a lot of great artists in the world, and I'm doing great things, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I still have a long way to go. It's a you know, it's a journey. It's, you know, I love this success for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I still got work to do. And
well,
hopefully you're going to be around for a long time.
But
oh yeah,
one of the
of
things
course.
I wanna...
not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere. So this,
I want to thank
this,
you. I want to thank you for coming on today. But one of the things I do want to do real quick, we have about 10 minutes left, is we're going to be giving away a book of your art. And in order for the listeners to get this book, they're going to need to email me. I do this on a lot of shows. A little answer to a question. And the question is, where, and you can't say anything. Don't say anything, Micheline, because I know you probably know. Where is the Andy Warhol Museum located? Okay, so you, if you're listening today and you want to win a book of Micheline Thomas's pieces, please email me, where is the Andy Warhol Museum located? And you can email me at saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Again, that's saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Also, Micheline has a website. It's michelinethomas.com. And you can check out where she is, where she's going, where she's been, some of her videos. But you really need to look at her pieces up close, and we mentioned this earlier before we got on the air, just to appreciate the amount of work she put into. How do you, I mean, how long did it take you to do the MoMA piece? How long did it take you to do that?
That
month?
That piece took forever. about 5-6 months, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm fortunate as an artist to have a great assistance to work with me with some of these like really large projects. So it's, you know, it's really exciting to be able to do some of the work that I do. And I know I can't do a lot of the work that I do without my great assistant. So,
right.
You know,
definitely. We all need support systems. Well, let me tell them, you're at the MoMA until the end of this year. You're also out in Los Angeles at the Susan Vilmeter? Vilmeter Museum, and that's until, you're already there. Are you still there now, or you still there?
No,
that
show's ended, yeah.
It's show ended, okay. But then you're
going
to be going to France?
I'm sorry?
You're going to France next year?
Yeah, we're going to France on a residency for about 3 months in the south of France, in Gironi. It's an artist residency, and it's at Monet's estate, so that should be a lot of fun. Speaking of landscape painting, I'll have plenty of time to do that there.
Yes, there.
And also, you know, people are interested. There's, you know, I have a Michelle Obama print at the National Portrait Gallery, and that's up until, I believe, October. No, that's up until January of 2011.
Okay. Now, and also they can buy some of your, at the International Center of Photography, your pictures are on some bags.
Yeah.
So people can purchase those.
Yeah, people can purchase those. That was for a show that I did, the ICP Triennial for Photographers, and actually that was a great honor to participate with that show because most of the people in that show are mainly photographers and great photographers, so it was nice to be, you know, with among, you know, great people and for my work to be considered that because, you know, I don't necessarily consider myself a photographer. Photography is a part of my work.
Right. Now, do you, you just started, I was reading about getting your feet wet with Photoshop. How do you feel about that now, using Photoshop?
I love it. Yeah, I really do. It's actually cut out some longer parts of my process and made it a little easier, especially for scaling the image, you know, for a certain particular size for a painting. If I have a collage that's 5 by 7 inches and I want to paint it on a 9 by 12 painting, I have to resize it. So it's fun to, you know, be able to scan it and manipulate it in new ways. So you're also, you know, recontextualizing the image. You're changing it again. And so I like that process.
What's your favorite color? We have about 4 minutes left. What's your favorite color?
What's my favorite color? Blue.
Yeah, blue?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Blue and all the variations of blue, you know.
Right.
Gonna be, you know, there's peacock blue, there's royal blue, so I like blue.
Okay. So now, what do you hope to accomplish in the coming year? You have the residency, and what else are you planning on doing?
Well, there's, you know, I'm preparing for my show 2011 at Lehman Maupin, and also my show at the Santa Monica Museum. It'll be actually my first museum show in the United States, so I'm excited about that. So that's what I'm preparing right now. Is
that
a series of new works for both of these shows.
So I want to thank you again just for coming on. I mean, I hope people will check out.
Thanks for having me.
Check out MichaeleneThomas.com. You can see where she's going to be, where she's been, what she's doing. But you definitely want to get up close and personal with her pieces. And just thank you so much for coming on this morning. Again, if you want to win a book with some of her art, you need to email me, where is the Andy Warhol Museum? Okay, and you can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Thank you so much, Michaeline, for coming on this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, good luck with everything.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. Thanks
okay.
for having me.
All right.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening this morning. This was a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I know it's Monday, but thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And if you're interested in winning a book with Michaeline Thomas's work, you need to email me, where is the Andy Warhol Museum? In the coming week, this coming Saturday, September 11th, I'll be doing a show about sickle cell anemia and also about suicide prevention. Many of us around the globe are struggling with different issues, but sometimes it might go just over our heads and people might think about committing suicide. So I'll be speaking about that issue and what you can do to help your friends or family or yourself if you get in that position. And then also next Saturday, you can learn more about sickle cell anemia. A special show I'm doing September 14th, Ayaan Hirsi Ali. She has 2 books out, Infidel, Nomad, and she has a lot of controversy around her dealing with Islam and women. So that's on September 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's a special show. Thank you so much for listening this Monday. Again, you can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. You have a wonderful Monday.
Healthy, fresh, art smart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. 1 serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.